Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give the dominion to you. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If the master comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, the owner would not have left the house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. I had the honor of being volunteer pastor a couple weeks back at Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp. And I helped with, this year I helped with check-in and kind of going from table to table and bringing different items that counselors and the staff needed. And I noticed a very interesting transaction that happened between the counselor and the family of the kids and youth when they checked in. And that was, at every check-in table, the counselors took cell phones. Now, there was obviously a little disappointment from some of the kids and their families, but they had a quick response, right? "We don't want you to be distracted." And so it dawned on me as I was participating in the evening campfire on the shores of Flathead Lake, and seeing 150 kids singing their hearts out and hugging each other, Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp is teaching these kids faith. A lot of their worldly concerns, of course, were stripped, like their cell phones, and what was left was an opportunity to learn how to trust something beyond yourself without distraction. So as I have gotten older and thought more about what faith means, I've realized the power of this image that I saw at Flathead Lutheran, trying to teach these kids what faith means. And faith for me, it seems, has become a lot more like that feeling at camp versus the feeling you get when you see missionaries coming up your driveway to knock on your door. But you know, I still wonder, I still ponder, what does faith actually mean? Is it a behavior or an act or an ideal? Is faith a concept or an emotion? When we say that we have faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus has faith in us, well, what do we mean? You know, I remember as a little kid watching and waiting for my father to come home from work. And a lot of the time, he would call the house and tell my mom, "I'm on my way home from work." And now my parents, their house sits at the bottom of this hill, and the hill kind of curves. And I remember as a kid, it would always be that kind of little thrill of watching a car kind of come around the bend that was familiar and pull into the driveway. Sometimes even during the summer, I would go out and play in the front yard after my dad made this phone call, just to wait for that car to come around the bend and to be home. For faith to happen, I think, number one, is for there to be a promise. In his phone calls, my dad made a promise to come home safely, which I had great faith in. And sometimes, of course, he would get stuck in traffic or get delayed by catching somebody he needed to talk to briefly at work on his way out, or even witness his car not starting up from a dead battery. That happened a couple times. But he would always make good on his promise to come home eventually. You know, I myself was driving home from work this last week, and I saw a bumper sticker that read, "Just have faith." And I thought to myself, wow, if only it were so simple. Oh, I got to thinking about this more and more. Just have faith. And the more I think about it, the more I have come to kind of disagree with what this bumper sticker is actually suggesting. Because if faith requires a promise, that means that faith requires two parties to be a part of that promise, a putting of trust in that promise. If we are to put trust in that promise, then we require that promise to be backed up. I can't have faith if my dad promises to come home and then never shows up. I can't have faith in someone who promises that they love me, but then never give me any attention or any affection. I can't have faith if the other party doesn't live up to their promise. So just having faith is kind of cheap. It's kind of fake. And it's actually, I don't think, what really faith is about. Though I think it has been what the church has historically preached. A lot of our scripture readings today talk about this reality of faith and what it means. Abram, or later to be Abraham, we witness a man who three faith traditions point to as a model of faith, but whose faith actually wavered quite a bit. If we read deeper, we forget that Abram fled to Egypt. He pretended that Sarai was his sister in order to protect himself because he didn't fully trust in God's promise. And even in our Old Testament reading today, we can see this wavering as he says, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless. You have given me no offspring. And so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." You know, I can put myself in Abram's shoes, wanting to do things myself, not leave myself too exposed. Sometimes I think to myself, you know, faith, what does this really mean? What the bleep am I really doing? Moments that we just kind of want to throw faith out. What is this whole faith thing anyways? Yet, for me, I somehow seem to find my way back. I somehow seem to be led back to that trust, to that relationship. And sure enough, Abram is led back as well in verse 6, where it says, "And Abram believed the Lord." You know, another way to translate the Hebrew on this actually would be to say, "And Abram confirmed and supported the Lord." And I kind of like this translation, actually, because it shows Abram not just having faith, but being a partner. He's confirming and supporting God's promise. It's a two-way street. In having faith, Abram is saying, "I'm going to do what I can do to make and support and confirm this promise in becoming reality." And Jesus himself, too, reveals this two-way partnership in our gospel today. Do not be afraid, little flock, he says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Unlike some people who read this text as a demand, right? A requirement, maybe. We have to have faith. I don't read this that way. I don't think Jesus is requiring faith in this text at all. Instead, I think he is creating faith. Creating the opportunity for us to confirm, for us to support God's promise in him. Theologian David Loos writes, Jesus creates faith by announcing a promise. Promises create a shared expectation about the future and bind together the giver and receiver of the promise in that shared anticipation. Promises create relationship. Promises create hope. Promises create faith. So this brings me back to Flathead Lutheran Bible Camp and cell phones. What makes camp so powerful for those kids is not really the games and the songs and the friends, though that is powerful, but I would argue what makes it truly powerful is the uninterruption. These kids are not being distracted by other things, and so for many of them, maybe for the first time in their lives, actually have the time to focus, to dig deeper. Because how can we fully confirm and support God's promise if we're not able to fully concentrate on confirming and supporting of God's promise? Abby and I have tried this in our own marriage, where we call it getting away from the computer time when both of us are cooking. And getting away from the computer, I think, equals us showing each other that we have faith in each other. We are focused on having faith, on confirming and supporting one another, though we're not perfect every time. And so this is why I think getting away, unplugging, is so important. It's not only a chance for us to recharge and rest, like we always say on vacation, but I would argue it's a chance that provides us a moment for us to actually learn faith. It's a chance for all of us to have an undistracted moment to confirm, to support the promise which God has made to each and every one of us. Faith, I think, has to be learned. It has to be cultivated. Faith has to be appreciated and worked on. Faith has to be struggled with. Faith has to be a two-way street. And so may each of us find the time to unplug, to go on vacation, to live faith in a deeper way. May we not see faith then as a requirement, as a badge of honor, but as a conversation, as a partnership. And finally, may we be able to grow, to confirm and support this promise that God gives each and every one of us and make it a reality in the good times and the bad. Amen.